It is time for the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group here on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here, Chad Patterson over there. And Chad, boy, the first night of playoff action here, week number 10 of the high school football season. And you and I are no longer employed.
Nope. We got sent right to the unemployment line last night. Mine in a little bit more emotional fashion.
For sure.
Heartbreaking fashion. Yours, you started packing up around that middle of second quarter. But it was really, really rough. At Ferguson Field last night, tough game. We kept saying it all the way through the game as it went back and forth that somebody was going to leave that field heartbroken. And unfortunately, it was our hometown Grayling Vikings.
Yeah, it was for sure. And like you mentioned, you know, Traverse City West traveled down to Granville. Granville, very good team. They run that wing T full house backfield, deceptive as you see it, you know.
Kingsley, yeah.
Yep. And it's just hard to stop when it's ran to perfection. It's tough to stop. And there was a running clock the entire second half and came out obviously on the short end of a 45-8 score. But we do have head coach Eric Tunney of the Grayling Vikings with us right now. And coach, certainly not the way you wanted it to play out, that's for sure, but you knew coming in that this Boyne City team was really tough, and an incredible game at Ferguson Field last night.
Yeah, it sure was. It's a great game. Hats off to both teams. You know, it was back and forth and you know, little individual battles here and there, and unfortunately we came out on the short end of the stick, but yeah, it certainly was a great game.
And talk a little bit, Eric, if you can, about how the weather affected the game. I know there was like a mist most of the night, and it seemed like the ball was slippery at times and hard to hold on to, and I know you don't make any excuses, but did that have a huge effect on your team?
You can't make excuses. Both teams got to play in it. You know, were there some things that it affected us? Yeah, sure. But, you know, said definitely can't. It's not the reason why we lost. But, yeah, a little wind and a little bit of rain. You know, overall we handled it well. The first snap after halftime, that hurt. But
your defense
kept fighting and playing through it.
Your defense stood up, though.
Yeah. Defense played really well all night. You know, they were in tough situations, and really, you know, hats off to Boyne and their special teams. Was great. They pinned us down on the one a couple times, and that's, you know, there's not a good play call for that. And
no,
trying to get out of that situation is tough. So.
Well, Jack Neer got player of the game for them, Coach. Strictly, not because he's a great quarterback, and he had a touchdown pass and he ran one for a touchdown as well. But I haven't seen many games, NFL, college, high school, where a punter pins the other team back on the 1 yard line twice in a game.
Yeah, that's tough. And hats off to him. One, they're both, you know. All on his own. One went out of bounds and the other one died right on the one. So
yeah, you can't place a coffin corner kick better than that. So
no, that was perfect. So yeah, tough to get out of those situations, but our kids fought hard, and super proud of that group. It's always the toughest speech to give at the end of the year, especially the seniors. We've had some guys that have put a lot of time in, a lot of work, and they're some special kids. So, but like I told them last night, I'm confident that they're set up for success in life. They've been through some ups and downs, and they got some grit, and that'll bode well for them in their futures.
Yeah, that's for sure. Head coach Eric Tunney of the Grayling Vikings with us here. Came up, like you said, on the short end of a 19-18 score against a very a Boyne City team that, coach, we've gone back years with Boyne City. Last year we got them up at their place to win the district championship. You know, this year that we start off with them because we basically have 3/1000ths of a playoff point more. But also, Talk a little bit about how this Viking Nation crowd came out and to support this Grayling Viking team.
Yeah, they've been absolutely incredible, really, since we started playoffs last year. And it seems like the crowds got bigger and bigger and bigger. And even this year, from game one, the Roscoe game, to the end, you know, more students showed up, more parents, more alumni. And, you know, I got a lot of texts yesterday before the game, you know, good luck, coach, come to the game. And so very cool, you know, to get that community support. And obviously it helps during the game. But, you know, been through some tough times, as everybody has. But, you know, getting the community to rally around our program was great to see this year.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk to Alex Teeter and Gabby Helinski at halftime, coach. And I think the job those two have been doing with your student section all season long has just been phenomenal. I love all the themes that they've had and everything else. And we see that at other schools during basketball season and football season. It's good to see two students kind of taking charge of that.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, something I wanted to see and feel like we had back when I first got to Grayling, and then it kind of tapered off a little bit. But yeah, great to see the student body get involved, and, you know, had a lot of students in the hall saying good luck and you guys ready for tonight. And so it means a lot, and I think it helps our students who've also been through a lot, you know, helps them rally around something and give them something to look forward to. And, you know, hopefully we can keep that going into winter sports as well.
All right, coach. Well, when do you go back to work?
Monday after school.
Right on.
Be there.
Now, coach, you have a sophomore class coming up too. You got some juniors there as well. So, you know, I know this senior class was very big to your program the last 3 years, basically on varsity. But you have some kids coming up through the pipeline that look pretty good as well.
Yeah, you know, it'll be same story. We're losing some dudes, but you know, I told the I call them puppies. They won't be puppies anymore. But I told them, you guys, you know, you see the blueprint, and these guys set it up for you, and you know, you've seen how they've worked in the off season and the time they put in, and you know, results show. So yeah, I think you know, having those seven sophomores up this year, really, they've been up for 2 years, so. They have a lot of experience, and I'm excited the way that they work and attack each day. Reminds me of these seniors when they were sophomores. So, yeah, I think the future is bright.
Right, and these seniors were good examples of how the off season works and how hard you have to work in the off season in the weight room and doing all those kind of things. So they set a good example for those underclassmen.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. And that's why, you know, the good programs keep winning. You know, you get those extra weeks of practice and playoffs. And, yeah, I think they know what it takes. And, you know, we'll be back to work on Monday.
Yeah, I think the thing that I loved most about this season and last season, coach, was there was no bickering on the field. There was all encouragement, nobody pointing fingers. Yeah, actually, a lot of people pounding their chest saying, that's on me. And that was just really good to see, just everybody playing as a team. And I think you had a great core of leadership last year as seniors, and then that carried on to this year. And I think you got it coming next year. So good luck in the future. And, you know, I'm sure I'll see you around. You know, Scott Nicholas wants you to do a couple of basketball games with him, you know, the week of the play when I can't do it. So you interested in being on the air doing basketball?
Absolutely. I got a beautiful face for radio, so definitely do that.
Well, he'll be calling you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That color analyst stuff, Eric, it's easy as anything. Don't worry about it, buddy. You're a natural for it.
Yeah, if you guys can do it, it can't be hard.
Exactly.
Wow.
Hey, I did not set the bar very high at all, Eric, so it's easy, buddy.
Just kidding. You guys do an awesome job, and I appreciate it and appreciate all the support. Yeah, even the phone calls after losses, there.
Right.
You know, it's always good to talk to you guys.
I know. It's not easy, Coach, joining us first thing after an emotional loss like that when you know you're such a great senior group and really we're hoping for a deep run. But, you know, hats off to Boyne for, you know, doing what they did. And but, you know, as you said, these life lessons that you learn in the sports, why we play these games, and there's some going to be some positive things that come out of this, no doubt about it.
Yeah, for sure. We want, you know, obviously you got to teach them how to tackle and block and all those things, but becoming better men and future husbands and fathers is, and better human beings is what it's all about. So, yeah, I'm excited to watch these kids grow, and, you know, that's probably the best part about coaching and teaching is watching the kids grow up and later in life and seeing the good things that they do. So I'm excited for them.
And I think that's a good place to end it right there.
It is. I agree.
I can't agree with you more, Coach. It's more important to turn them into great young men than just worry about the player. So, well, great job, Coach. Great season. And I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Yep.
For sure. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Eric. Take care. All right, that was head coach Eric Tunney of the Grayling Vikings. And, you know, Chad, it's always tough, as I mentioned to Eric there, it's tough to come on and talk on the radio, and especially after an emotional loss like that 19-18 one was. You had a huge home crowd. And but give Eric credit, he doesn't run from anything. He doesn't hide from anything. He's going to come out and talk about it. And, you know, the bigger picture's always in view with Eric.
And the bigger picture is what he just said, too, is, you know, turning these young men into good husbands, good fathers, good men.
Right.
You know, that when you go into it with that kind of focus and, you know, you get away from it, when that's coming from the top and you get away from, the, you know, the individual statistics and all that other stuff.
The teamwork involved with everything. You're going to use those examples moving forward in life, in a work setting, in everything. I mean, it's so important, those things that, you know, I'm still doing things from what I learned in football and basketball and baseball. I mean, it is the truest statement out there. You know, it's about life lessons, and I'm still using the same things. I used it in my years when interviewing for positions. The things I learned in high school sports were just vital for me. And
everybody remembers, if they had a positive experience, everybody's going to remember their football coach or their play director.
Any extracurricular activity, for sure.
Anybody that is very encouraging and positive, and, you know, Coach Eric Tunney is one of the most positive people I've ever met. And not to mention, just Eric, I mean, just the people that he surrounds himself with, with, you know, Mike Kozowski and Jeremy Carr and, you know, Doug Paulus and Dave Somero. I mean, they're just a great staff.
Yes.
And Doug Katzer, you know, Coach Doug, you know, they all walked the field yesterday and, you know, with the seniors. And it was just, you know, it's one of those heartbreaking things. It's the end of an era, too. We would be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, the fact that I'll never get to say "Whoa, Millie" again during a football game. That hit me last night, and
right.
You know, I'm watching these players, and I know, you know, more players come up, and I was actually saying to the kids at halftime to Gabby and Alex, who have been spearheading.
Right. Well, that's very cool. You touched upon that again. Mentioned the two kids that were organizing, basically. You know, what used to be the Moff Pit back in the years of you know, when Coach Rich Moffitt was coaching basketball, to the basically the Grayling kids, they organize and they do certain cheers and they dress alike and they do all kinds of different things. Talk about what they did.
Well, what they've done is they, I guess, you know, Alex Teeter, he's a senior. He's he was involved in sports earlier in his high school career and just a really really good kid, nice kid, and just really popular with his classmates and stuff. And he just said, you know, after everything we went through with COVID and then we had the state semifinal season, you know, we need to make this, you know, his senior year, we need to make this special. And, and not just football, but volleyball too. They did the pink out games with volleyball.
Awesome.
They went to every volleyball game, home game, and just set up a student section there. They're going to do it for basketball. And, you know, I think it's just absolutely wonderful that's happening in our school, because you need to see some positive, encouraging things going on. And they're doing it in the right way, too. They're doing it in a positive way. They're not, there's no like taunting going on.
Right. Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these things where it's like, you know, they, like you said, they have all these themes, like Hawaiian theme and neon theme and stuff like that. And I just hope that continues all the way through basketball season.
Right.
And just to see these young people, you know, appreciating their, you know, their teams and then working in concert with the band too. You know,
that's really cool.
They put the marching band, they seat them right next to the student section, which for years I didn't understand why that wasn't happening anyway.
Right.
Now they got it that way, and it's just
good.
And I hope that continues. You know, Alex is going to hand that off to somebody next year, and I hope that whoever takes it is going to be, you know, just as excited and enthusiastic as Alex and Gabby. Gabby's still got one more year, so she'll probably
Helps to have the Gabby Helinski, the underclassman there, coming up through, so she can help teach the other kids coming up through that are freshmen, sophomores right now, come up through the rank and file. And I'm glad the logistics has gotten worked out where the student section is next to the band. That's very cool. You know, again, it just adds that much more excitement when you walk into a stadium and when those student sections are so into it.
Oh, yeah.
It stands out in your mind.
Oh, absolutely. So just congratulations to those two kids and all the students at Grayling High School have taken part in that. And we want to, you know, just, you know, mention the seniors that are leaving. Anthony Fisher, Ben Gonzalez, Dylan Craig, David Milliken, of course, the All-State running back, Yang Zhang. Sparty Skillern had a great game last night, a few tackles for losses. Trevor Klein Johnson, TKJ as we call him, great game last night. He had a bunch of huge tackles in that game. Jacob Carnes and Connor Ollie Oliverson. It was his birthday last night, so
happy birthday.
But just a great bunch of kids, and they're never going to forget this football experience. So just wanted to have a shout out to them.
Exactly, as you should. All right, Chad, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, brought to you by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here, Chad Patterson over there. And with us right now is the head coach of Traverse City Central Trojans, the victorious Trojans, as they had a huge 49-7 win over Saginaw Heritage. And Coach Eric Sugars, what a great way to start your playoff run.
Yeah, it was. You know, our players and staff prepared well for the week, and we kind of went in the playoffs. You know, everybody's 0-0, so you throw off the records, and you just want to win first week, be 1-0 after week one, and we did that, and now we're moving on to the district final, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Looks like offensively, you guys have really been rolling all season long, Coach, and looks like there was no hitch in your giddy-up last night.
Yeah, you know, I thought our defense played well to get our offensive ball back right away, and that's kind of, you know, at the mark of good teams this time of year. You got to play great on both sides of the ball, plus special teams, and if you want to make a run. And so, you know, we still got some work to do. We still looking, watching film this morning. We got to get better at a lot of things, but, you know, I'm pleased because our kids, you know, you survive in advance at this point. It's win and move on to the next week.
And, Coach, I'm glad you brought up your defense because since those opening games against DeWitt and Marquette, really, you've shut down just about every team that you've played. Was there something that you turned the page after that DeWitt game or any changes that you made?
You know, it's not so much changes. I just think you get back to kind of blocking and tackling. You know, it's kind of one of those, you know, the old adage, what are you going to work on? And so a lot of it's technique for us. And just fitting into our gaps and more so just, you know, getting off of blocks and just doing a better job just sound defensively. I mean, we're a gap control defense and just getting better at that and leveraging the ball. And that's something we need to do. And last night we had trouble tackling, so that's something we got to get better at for next week. But, you know, there's always room for improvement.
Well, it's always good after a 49-7 win when you still have something to look at on film and share with your kids that you need to work on.
Yeah, it always is. You're right, exactly right. And you know, I think our kids understand that too. You know, you got to be humble. You know, you got to have humility in your wins. And you know, we certainly got a lot of things to work on because there's better opponents ahead of us. So you got to prepare. You know, you don't prepare for the team you just won. You know, you got to prepare for the next one and continually get better. And that's kind of the process we want our players to think about.
Right. Coach, now who won between Dow and Western last night?
Western
did?
Bay State Western, yeah, they won on a close, I think it was the last second field goal.
Wow.
So. 25-23.
Wow, what a great game. So, well, but they good news, bad news. Good news they won, but they won a one-way ticket up to take on the Trojans at Thurlby Field.
Yeah, that's what we tell the kids. I mean, they've earned the opportunity to host at least two playoff games here. And so, you know, we've earned that right, and we're excited about doing that. And it's great to have a district championship at Thurlby Field come next Friday night. And Bay State Western's a tough football team, man. They run a basically smash mouth offense, and they're very physical up front and physical running the football. And we're going to have to match that physicality certainly with our defense next week. And our offense has got to execute like they have been doing. And, you know, we'll start to look at them and break them down and move forward.
And Coach, Bay City Western, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of those teams that's going to be a possible future opponent as well in that Saginaw Valley League.
Yeah, you're right. It is one of it'll be one of our conference opponents next year. So we're certainly familiar with them. We used to play them years ago, but their coach has done a great job. He turned around their program, and they're a physical football team, and they've won a lot of games, and they've scored a lot of points too this year. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, and we got to prepare well.
Yeah, and those are those scary teams, Coach, that would love nothing more. Coach, you guys made a deep playoff run to the semis last year. You guys have a target on your back, and Bay City Western would like nothing better than to come up on your home field and stick it to you guys.
Yeah, that's how you got to play this time of year, right? You got to survive in advance and play with a chip on your shoulder. And, you know, everyone's going to bring their best game. And that's how, you know, we got to prepare that way. You know, but the great news is we get to keep preparing that way. So I told our players, you know, be excited about the victory, enjoy this one. And then come the next day, we're focused on the next opponent, and we will be.
Well, Coach, Rich and I got sent home last night. We're unemployed next Friday, so we are going to root for Traverse City Central from here on out. We're going to pay attention to what you guys are doing in the playoffs. I know you're doing some things with your family today, but we want to thank you for joining us.
You bet, guys. I appreciate it. Appreciate your support of high school football always, and looking forward to next week. Go Trojans.
Go Trojans. Coach, remember, that fan base just grew by leaps and bounds. Now you got all of Northern Michigan cheering you on, bud.
All right, well, we'll welcome them with open arms, that's for sure.
Awesome. Love the support. Plenty of room on the bandwagon.
You bet.
Have a great weekend, Coach.
All right.
You too, guys. Enjoy it.
All right. See you, bud. All right. Head Coach Eric Shiggers of the victorious Traverse City Central Trojans. As again, they won a big one, 49-7 over Saginaw Heritage. Again, another team that's going to be in their league next year in that Saginaw Valley League. But what a big win it was last night. This team, I tell you, consistently, since that first half of the DeWitt game, which they opened up at the Battle of the Big House down at the University of Michigan, obviously, they played one bad half of football, and that's it the entire year. That was the very first week. Since then, this team has been on a roll. They've been on a mission, and they come out. There doesn't seem, of course, Coach knows them better by being with them in practice every day in all the games, but they just seem to be like a machine. They execute really well each and every Friday night.
And that starts with the quarterback, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. Yeah, when you got Josh Burnham back there, 6'4", 230 pounds. He's going to play defense at Notre Dame next year. For the next 3-4 years, and he's either going to be a linebacker, defensive end. They expect him to even put on more weight, and so he could end up being a defensive end. And when you got that kid leading your team, and they have a lot of other pieces as well.
Seabass,
and they got receivers. They've got speed.
Bordeaux,
yep. Yes, exactly. They've got kids all over the place. So it's truly not a one-person show there at all at Central. And again, as you know, Chad, with football, you could have one really good player, but if you don't have a lot of other pieces to it, it won't matter, because on that huge football field, one person can't cover it all.
Oh, yeah, and David Milliken would tell you that. He's a great player, but he's got a lot of great players around him. And, you know, and I think David wants to punch us when we give him the player of the game, because he's probably saying, what about Trevor? What about Sparty?
Anthony Fisher? What about all those guys? Yeah, the guys in the trenches, they never get the love anywhere at any any level of football.
Tell me about it. I was one of those
guys. Exactly. I was fortunately on the outside, so it was always better. But anyway, it was just like those guys from Pop Warner to the NFL. They just don't, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, they don't get, it's starting to change a little bit, you know, with the Aaron Donalds in the NFL, when defensive player of the year.
When you have those edge rushers making more than quarterbacks sometimes.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. So that's really cool. So, but again, Eric Sugar, that's an easy team to root for because, again, because of the head coach of Eric Sugars and the attitude that he has established over there and what he wants to do, and a great run last year, again, down to the semifinals. And when you have the number two overall recruit in the entire state of Michigan, right up here in northern Michigan in Traverse City, it's, again, like I was joking with him, but I'm really serious about how all of a sudden when your personal teams lose in the playoffs and you're feeling bummed, well, again, start, you know, cheering for TC Central, for the Kingsleys, for the Traverse City St. Francis's, all of those teams that represent. Yeah, sorry about that one. Yeah, I misspoke there for a second with St. But anyway, no, just kidding. But anyway, it's easy to jump onto them because I want them, as many Northern Michigan teams, to represent down at Ford Field.
Absolutely. When you see, and I know you feel this way because you know, you've been doing this job for years. Right. It's always the teams that you play against. Once you're out of the playoffs, you want to see them advance. You want to see them be strong because, if Kingsley goes, you know, all the way to a state semifinal or to Ford Field,
right?
You know, then we're sitting there saying, oh, man, we lost to them by 4 points. You know, we're in that game the whole time. And it's one of those things you're going to remember. But, yeah, head coach Eric Sugars has always been very impressive when we've talked to him on the air, and just an impressive team. And like you said, they got my rooting interest up. So.
Absolutely. And downstate when TC West took on Granville last night, now Granville gets to take on the number one team in the state in Rockford. It's a team that they battled to in double overtime in regular season. So they were within one score of them. Excuse me. And so they put 99 points on the board total between the two of them.
Wow.
So, so they're expecting a great – now it's going to be, of course, up at Rockford. But, obviously, I'm a Granville fan now. They wore their throwback jerseys last night. It looked like the old Washington football team back in their yellow pants and their maroon jerseys.
Nice.
So it was pretty cool last night for sure in a rainy field down there. But we're going to go to break here, Chad, and you're listening to the High School Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group, and you're listening to it on the Up North Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Chad Patterson in studio with you today. We do have, of course, we will be out of here right at 11 o'clock today.
Because, is there something going on?
I can't think of it. There might be, what is there, a garage sale going on
or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure. What.
Pumpkin patch?
Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Down in East Lansing today. Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal in this state.
It is kind of a big deal, and it's and they're playing right at noon today, so the pregame starts at 11, but... by the way, Chad, just on a personal, in the personal nature here, how is it broadcasting with a partner, you and Scott Nicholas, when you guys are two diametrically opposed when it comes to your rooting interest in the college football realm? You being a huge Sparty fan and Scott being a big Go Blue fan.
Well, I will tell you this. I grew up in the Lansing area, so it's I bleed green and white, and I was glad to move to Grayling because, you know, the colors didn't change.
It fit right in. You didn't have to change your wardrobe.
Exactly. So Scott is a genius on how he deals with it because he never gives Michigan State any credit. And if Michigan loses, he will always blame Michigan. Like, he does not, he doesn't give Michigan State any credit at all. He will always blame Michigan. And he's just, so that diffuses the whole thing, which is not fun at all. He's not a fun person to, like, you know, brag to or anything like that.
You want someone to really, that really just, you kind of get
hurts,
underneath their skin and just they come back at you with some wild accusations.
Exactly. I've known Scott for over 20 years and we've been having this fight for over 20 years. And he is, and it's not even a fight because, like I said, you know, it's no fun to fight with him. Because he just says, Harbaugh screwed up, you know, or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, he did. Wait, you just stole all my power.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's so true, though, when you have a little budding rivalry there, Dad, no question about it. When the one person just doesn't take the bait, you know, it's just like all of a sudden you're like, well, I got to move on here. I got to talk to someone else here.
I really want
to get your goat. Especially with the success that Michigan State has had through the last 10 years.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, and I brought up, you know, we talked a little bit about it on the air last night. And we had a great special teams game last night between Boyden and Grayling. And, he said he thought the Michigan State Michigan game would come down to something on special teams. I said, maybe a fumbled punt.
And, all they needed to do was take a little time off the clock, and the miracle of miracles happens. And at Michigan, Michigan State returns it for a touchdown. Yes, and you got the automatic meme going all over social media.
The kid holding his head.
Yeah, I don't know with him going to the game like that if he thought he'd become world famous.
No, he's more famous than Steve Bartman. I mean, it's yes. kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to high school football now, but definitely stay tuned up our North Sports Radio to listen to Michigan State.
For sure.
Pre-game's at 11 and the kickoff's at noon. The big game last night, Rich, I know you and JC talked about this a lot. You talked about Claire and Gladwin.
Right.
And wow. 32-12. After losing, Claire wins 32-12 after losing the first game 48-42. Just unbelievable.
Unbelievable for sure. Like you said, you know, Gladwin undefeated this year, won their first Jack Pine Conference championship in like almost 20 years. Just a great, they're averaging 50 some points a game. They're just playing great. And not only that, they had like 6 or 7 shutouts on their record.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were just doing it on both ends, you know, offensively, defensively, and that was such an emotional win for them to win in Clare and win that Jack Pine Conference championship. But I mentioned in our Pigskin preview yesterday the experience of Clare in the playoffs. I mean, this is a team that is used to winning a few games in the playoffs, not always making deep, deep runs, but they have that playoff experience and what each possession means. Don't turn the ball over, control the line of scrimmage and that. And like you said, Chad, they won 32-12 in Clare with, I'm sure there was a huge crowd there.
Oh, yeah.
And so Clare, they traveled well. The Pioneers, you can never overlook them at all, no matter what their record is. Again, they went into this with a 6-3 record, I believe. And that's a team that just, they played Marquette. They played huge schools. They played tough competition. They came up and played Gaylord at the last game of the regular season. Yep. I mean, they're not afraid to take on bigger schools, and all of that hard work, all of that experience paid off last night with a huge playoff win.
And they got a running back there named Al Warner. Had 5 touchdowns, so he scored all 5 touchdowns, including 2 runs of 70 yards and 40 yards. And just a great, great team effort. But Al Warner, the star of that game. And Coach Kelly Luplow.
Oh.
Been there for 32 seasons.
He just got his 251st win. Now, I mean, in high school, it's not like basketball where you're playing 20 to 25 games a year. You're playing basically guaranteed 9, and that's it. And if you don't make a playoff run, or if it's COVID, it's even less than that.
Yeah.
So it's so for Kelly Luplow, like you said, to have over 250 victories there, that means longevity. He's done it for a long time.
I was in high school. That's a long time ago.
Wow. Wait, hold on. That just hit me, Chad. Hold on. Wait. Okay. No, it's all good. But for him to, but you don't have longevity if you don't have success.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't stay in these programs if you're losing year after year. So for him to buy into that Clare community and everything about it, and he is a standout there, it's incredible.
32 seasons he's coached, 24 playoff appearances, and 251 wins in only 20. So you said how odd that is because of longevity,
right,
and because of the length of the seasons.
Right.
Only 27 other coaches in the state of Michigan have won 250 or more games. I mean, that is rare company right there.
And let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it too. That's how you can have a field turf field, one of those artificial surface fields at Clare, Michigan, is because they had a local donor that worked for Dow for years, lives in the Clare community, would commute, and it put a big chunk of money down.
Nice.
And wouldn't necessarily do that if the football program wasn't good. You know what I mean? You don't get attract people, all sets of eyes and people opening up their wallets and things if your program isn't great.
Absolutely.
And that's how you get beautiful facilities that Claire has. And that we were just down at Grant. It's amazing now. All of so many of these communities have these field turf fields, the artificial surfaces. I was looking online, the Calumet has a wow. up in the Keweenaw Peninsula has artificial surface now up there, up in the land of milk and honey. And it's unbelievable up there in iron country that they have artificial surfaces. Again, field turf field with the rubber pellets and all that. If you've ever walked on these types of fields, they're incredible. I mean,
well, it helped them last night as they beat Menominee 35-20, Calumet did. So
I tell you what, anytime you beat Menominee, as I've called many a game up in Menominee, and been on the receiving end of some whoopings up there. And boy, I tell you, that's a long ride home. You know, that 6-hour-plus ride back home, where everyone over there is Green Bay Packer fans. So I'm nauseated right out of the gates. But
So we went over the Claire beating the Flying G's of Gladwin, and Claire gets to take on Kingsley now as Kingsley beats the Flivers from Kingsford 28-10, and True Beeman with a couple of touchdowns in that game for the Stags.
It was the Battle of the Kings last night down, like you said, in Kingsley with, again, a traditional power Kingsford, that a team that Grayling has played for many years and had success with, by the way. Has actually a winning record against Kingsford. So the Grayling had more success with them, obviously, but they traveled down last night. And it's good to see you didn't know how Kingsley would react after that tough loss.
Eight-point loss to St. Francis.
But it looks like Coach Tim Wooer over there at Kingsley got the kids, you know, motivated and got them playing well. And now, like you said, Claire's going to come to town. Kingsley will host because they were the number one seed in that district. So Claire's going to travel over there. And he knows what they just did to an undefeated Gladwin team. And so they my voice is going from, you know, Chad, you know, on a Friday, after our Friday night, coming in here Saturday morning, the voice is a little rusty.
Well, I don't know. I'm so reserved. Whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That theater background and stuff, and making sure things are dynamic and that things stand out. Yeah, I don't understand that at all coming from you, Chad. But anyway, so Tim Moore's got to get them ready for Coach Luplow and the Claire Pioneers for sure.
And he's got the weapons to do it with Gothels and Beeman, and they're just ready to go. All right. Well, Kingsley, like you said, be taking on Claire. And we have some other scores to hit you with. We went over the Calumet Menominee score. And how about Cadillac over Fruitport, 42-35?
Right. That ended up being a closer game. We were getting updates on that Cadillac game, and it looked like Cadillac had it under control throughout the night. And then when I got back home last night at 12:30 at night, and I start doing some research for the show here, looking at the final scores, that one stood out to me, and shockingly how close it ended up. A one-score game, like you said, with Cadillac winning 42-35. And I know how stingy that Cadillac defense is. So for Fruitport to come in there to Cadillac and put up 35 points, good effort by them. But right now, like Coach Eric Sugar said from TC Central, it's survive and advance. That's all that matters now. And it's at right now, you just win, baby. To quote Al Davis, just win, baby. That's what it's all about. So were there any stats available on that game at all, Chad?
I didn't find any stats available on that one, just a score. But that was one of the scores that did stand out to me because, like you just said, it was a lot closer than I would have thought.
Right, exactly. And let's see, in that the other bracket that we were talking about, that I believe now Boyne City gets to travel down to Standish Sterling.
Yes,
they were the number one seed in the district there by a little bit, by a few points, but they won 34-0 over Glen Lake.
And Glen Lake, one of those controversial four-win teams that got into the playoffs
like I told people last night in the press box at Granville, there were three-win teams that got in this year because, again, it's not based on wins only now. It's strength of schedule is so important, and I kind of like that.
I do too.
You get rewarded for playing tough teams and not worrying about the losses, you know? So I love it because when it was an automatic 6 wins and you're in, well, people would purposely schedule lesser opponents just to try to get the 6 wins. Well, that's not what competition is all about. Let's not do that. Let's play tough teams and let the chips fall where they may. So when 3-win teams are getting in the playoffs, they end up being 3-6 and they make it to the first round of the playoffs, hey, all the power to them, because again, they played tough schedules.
Well, we just talked to head coach Eric Sugars.
Right.
What did he do right out of the gate? The DeWitt Panthers.
DeWitt, the defending state champion in Division III with, you know, numerous Division I recruits, the receivers, quarterback, all that. He's like, nope, let's go. Let's play the big guys now.
Let's get our playoff points right front loaded right in the beginning of the season. I like that idea. Kind of a Tom Izzo kind of mentality right there.
Yeah,
let's schedule Duke. Let's schedule Kansas.
So it can only pay off later on in the play, when the playoff run that we're planning on, that we can, you know, go do some recall back to that first game and the lessons that we learned there, we can put them into play in game, hopefully 11, 12, 13, you know, as you make some deep playoff runs there for sure. So again, so Boyne City will be on the road again. They're going to have to head down to Standy Sterling. They're going to head down to the Southeast and take on the Standy Sterling Panthers.
And Standy Sterling, that's one of those teams that they've always cared a lot about their football program. I remember working, doing a theater program in their elementary school, and we would do the shows at the high school, and they showed me their practice facility, and they have a indoor practice facility with turf.
Seriously.
From the St. Louis Rams field, they brought turf in. It was amazing. But I don't know what their I mean, this was years ago, so I don't know if they're, I mean, obviously the Rams
that's
are
impressive.
In LA now.
Right.
But yeah, it was just this entire facility they had indoors where they worked out, and it was just you know, they had always had great teams back then, especially.
Right.
So
oh, that's
it's good
amazing
to see them rising up again.
Oh, it is, exactly. That's a nice little bit of information I did not realize, Chad. That's very cool for them. Like you said, when you have that field turf field on the inside practice facility for a high school.
And they only had about 40 yards in indoors, but they were able to, you know, run some walkthroughs and stuff like that and get ready. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, that all pays dividends later on, because we know how nasty. We've been very fortunate with weather this year. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
I mean, tomorrow is Halloween. I usually take my mask off on Halloween just to change it up. So anyway, I usually scare a lot of people. Those kids are frightened of me. But anyway, we've had pretty much great weather throughout the entire month here of September, October. I mean, you know, through the years, we've ran into some nasty, nasty weather, and it's really been, we had some rain last night, but you expect that. But
even then, it was just a mist.
I wore shorts to 7 of the 10 games this year to broadcast here, and that's unheard of. I typically am bringing heaters with me and all that stuff. Not a single time this year.
So that's what you get with the Bill Marsh scoreboard show. You get these hard hitting statistics, like how many games Rich Calkins wore shorts to.
Exactly.
So those are the hard. If you're keeping track at home, 7 games.
7 games. You're Calkins not going to get shorts. That anywhere else. I
Nowhere
want you
else.
To know. This
Nowhere
makes
else.
You want to listen to this station right here. I know that's important stuff, Chad. No question about it. Well, let's take our final commercial break here, Chad, and we'll come up with a hodgepodge of different things. Maybe we'll get a hold of another coach. Maybe we won't.
I'll tell you how many games I wore shorts.
Yeah, okay, good. Yep, so that's riveting radio right there, sports fans. So you're listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. All right, welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Again, we're going to have about the last 11 or 12 minutes here. Again, we do have to get out of here right at 11 o'clock.
Go green.
That's right, because there's a go blue, go green thing going on. The pregame right here on 101.1. You'll listen to the Michigan pregame show right here. And again, for that big Michigan State game at noon kickoff in East Lansing. And Chad, I've been down there tailgating on a great, when my alum, the Central Michigan Chippewas, traveled down there to take on Michigan State, and we actually won with a last second field goal.
I remember.
But a couple of, yes, exactly.
Well,
but
my money goes to Central now, so it's
right, exactly. My daughter graduated from Michigan State, so that's, you know, I have allegiances there as well because of her. Absolutely. I grew up as a Michigan fan. I'm one of those guys that a lot of people hate. They feel you got to be one way or the other. You can't be both. There is no way you can be a fence rider. I really what I like, the team that's doing the best that represents the state of Michigan, I cheer for them. Well, this year they're both 7-0. I mean, there's no definitive line between those two.
Yeah, it's and it's always best. I'm one of those guys that's like, I want them to be undefeated when we face them. I want to be undefeated. I want Michigan to be undefeated. That way it makes it so much more fun. If one team is way down.
That's no fun.
You know, when I was in high school, we had the Bo Schembechler, Demetrius Brown team, right. Which was not very good. And then, of course, we had the Lorenzo White, George Perlis team, which was excellent.
Excellent,
and of course, that was
yes.
The one Rose Bowl victory of my life. it was just – that was no fun. I want them to be
– beat them at their best.
Yeah, I mean, John Miller intercepted Demetrius Brown 4 times in the game. It was not –
It's amazing.
I still remember.
I can pull that stuff out of here right there. Yeah, it's right sitting up there.
Well, I went to high school with a lot of Michigan fans.
So, right.
It was good to, have that edge on them. Well, let's get back to high school football. Let's do some more scores, and we'll talk about more of those teams that survived and advanced last night.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, like you said, that's so important. We talked about all that. Reed City, they won 36-14. So that's a team that you can expect that either Boyne City, Stanley Sterling to possibly take on, as Reed City really good again this year. As their only loss coming into this game was the very first game of the year when they played Cadillac, a Division IV team, and they lost 18-14 in a hard-fought game. So Reed City back on good standing again. A Reed City game that Chad, both called the playoff game down there. I was standing just behind you in the booth because it was a little nasty outside.
So
kindly invited me into the booth. I really appreciate that. So
hey, you slipped me a $10 bill.
Right, exactly. Anything to stay dry. Me, Marlon Neuberger, and I, we really appreciated that.
And they beat Manistee.
Yeah, they did.
That was a team that Grayling beat last year, and it was a blowout, 36-14.
So. Yeah, exactly. Again, a good Reed City program there for sure. And again, a little bit further to the south there, into the west, Montague with a 41-7 win over Central Montcalm. Montague,
state of course, champs. Too.
State champs, and the team that beat Grayling in the semifinals last year. They were supposed to be. They lost their quarterback, who went on to play collegiately. They lost all the. They were supposed to be in a rebuild mode. Well, I tell you what, a rebuild mode that only had one loss in the regular season, but when you're coming off a state championship, that's expectations set real high.
Oh yeah.
But again, the Montague, very good team. Again, you saw them in person last year.
Yeah, and they just do everything right and almost bore you to death and then strike.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, that's it. When you lull those people to sleep and then they go over the top on you, then that's a – how about a big win for Charlevoix last night? Putting a 50-burger on the scoreboard, 50-8 over Mancelona.
And we were really impressed with Mancelona early on in the season. Yeah. And there's two teams that went in different directions, really. Mancelona started to go down and lose a lot of momentum at the end of the season, and Charlevoix's stock just kept going up.
It did. Yeah, they got better as the year went on, like you said, and Mancelona kind of hit their peak early in the season, like you admit. They were undefeated through, I believe, the first five or six games. Yeah, so then all of a sudden, but man, Charlevoix, what a big win. Putting 50 points up in a playoff game, that's highly impressive.
It'll be interesting to see what they do in the next week or so. I mean, if they advance, that could be a team, much like Traverse City Central, that I may hitch my star to as well.
Right, exactly. How about
hitch my wagon to? I don't know what the
It's all good. It's all good. We're hitching something here. But anyway, how about McBain going into favored Everett and just dominating them.
35-point.
Yeah, by a 35-point margin. They won 42-7, and Everett, again, had more playoff points. They hosted the game, but McBain said, we were going to look right past that. We're going to come in and dominate, and that's exactly what they did.
McBain, historically, always had that great program.
Great program.
They went down for a little bit, and then hopefully they're
still
getting it back.
Great, of course, and they have great basketball programs as well. They just, in that small community, man, those kids come out in droves in for their athletes, and yeah, as they continue to roll on there, for sure. Let's get a little bit of the UP on the eastern end over there. How about Rudyard going up to Munising
yeah.
and beating them 38-14? maybe one too many trips out there along the beautiful Pictured Rocks.
Yes,
there.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, maybe, you know, it's just so beautiful up there.
It is.
A little too relaxed, you know, the intensity wasn't up there. But
exactly.
Yeah, and good job by Rudyard, though. You got the eight player. We got Hillman. Yeah. On eight-man football, Hillman over Mayo, 32-26. That was a close game.
It was a close game for sure. I know Mayo was heading up there. They were hoping to beat Hillman in Hillman there. And that was the team they've had success against in years past. But good for Hillman there, like you said, to win a close one, 32-26. Friend of the show, Kevin O'Connell, his team, good for them making it into the playoffs this
year.
It was a big question mark whether they would. They did squeeze in there. Good for them. But they did lose to Marion 48-8. And Kevin O'Connell, I know he had his kids playing hard, and I know they're a fairly young team. They have a lot of kids coming back, and Kevin's going to get them going in the right direction here.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Kevin O'Connell, great coach, and that means Marion is going to be taking on Hillman next week.
Yeah, that's a close one. How about the number one team there in eight-man playoff, Sutton's Bay, 49-8 over Misek.
Woo!
That's Sutton's Bay, the real deal this year for sure. You know,
and they weren't relaxed by their great view, because that's a nice place to visit as well, Sutton's Bay. So I mean, just some great scores, great games, and just some great play in that first round of the playoffs.
No question. And again, and it didn't just end last night. There are a few games, believe it or not. Some of these schools are going to be playing during the collegiate game of Michigan State. So
St. Francis takes on Harrison today.
They do. Yeah, the Harrison Hornets will head north, and I would think St. Francis heavily favored in that game for sure, as they have, I was checking out the discrepancy in playoff points, they have 20 more playoff points than the number two rated team in their district there. That I think was the biggest difference in the whole state of Michigan. So again, they try to get teams in your general area, and just an incredible season for TC St. Francis going into this one undefeated.
And I think a couple other games, you got East Jordan and Ishpeming Westwood.
Yep, they're heading to the west side of the UP. So East Jordan, the Red Devils there, that's a long bus ride up there, and a very tough Ishpeming team. Beale City, really tough this year, as Bark River Harris, they travel down. They'll be crossing over the Mackinac Bridge here soon as they take on Beale City.
And then Frankfort going up to Iron Mountain.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a trip as well.
That is. And to round it out, Pelston, they travel to Powers North Central. So we have quite a few teams traveling over to the west side of the UP.
And hey, Grayling's done that before. You've done that before. I've not had to do that yet.
Oh, you?
So, no,
that's not right.
No, it's not right. I mean, you and Tom McCord had to.
You
travel.
Officially can't be considered a Grayling announcer yet without a long road trip to the western part of the UP. And then this year, doing some color for Traverse City West. I get to travel to Marquette this year.
Hey, I've been to the west side of the Lower Peninsula, so you know, Manistee, Montague. I've been over there.
It's
so
the west side of Michigan. I get it.
I've been over there, just not up across the bridge. You know,
right?
Where it's,
exactly.
2 feet of snow or anything.
No,
like
exactly.
That.
So. That's nope. Again, the Mackinac Bridge, noted for confiscating all soccer balls as you cross over. They only play football up there. That's a little side joke, by the way. I'm just kidding. I love all the kids that play soccer. It's just a little personal joke there. But so we're a minute away, Chad. We're going to have to say our goodbyes because, again, the Michigan pregame show, Michigan State coming up.
You got a prediction, Rich?
I do. I think Michigan is going to win in a hard-fought battle by like 1 or 2 points, but I wouldn't be surprised if State wins it at all.
I'm going to say 20-17. Good guys.
Okay, that's the green. All right, you've been listening to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins, Chad Patterson. We'll see you next Saturday at 10 a.m.